Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Under the Helmet.
You do your thing, all right? Don't be nervous, okay?
The show that looks at long-term player value in fantasy football.
It's the moment right here. We're going to have to decide what type of team we want to be.
Building dynasties each and every week.
I don't even know your name. What's your name?
Chad Parsons.
I'm telling you, man, you're leading the league in hydration.
I got a dynasty team reaping rewards for the next decade.
Find written and premium audio content at uthdynasty.com.
Playing it safe in Dynasty means you're going to lose.
Stop talking about it, man. Let's get this going right now.
Everybody, welcome to Under the Helmet. I am Chad Parsons and wanted to do a deep dive this week on Justin Fields. I also have a podcast on him, Instant Reaction, with him being traded to the Pittsburgh Steelers up on the UTH premium side. But I did some more deep dive historical research here, and it continues to dumbfound me in the way this has developed, where let's go all the way back to Carolina trading what ended up being the 101 to the Bears. And that made this a more prickly situation all around. If right now the Bears had 105, 106, they would, I would imagine, be keeping Justin Fields to some degree because they don't know what looks they're going to get at the quarterback position. But Carolina fueling this, getting the 101, that was already shipped in the Bryce Young trade to the Chicago Bears. And now Justin Fields, where it's like, oh, he's going to have a big market. And it keeps dwindling like the wee hours of a yard sale or at a rummage sale where you end up with this whole truckload of stuff that you say, I don't want to take this home. At some point you go, hey, if you take all this, $20. $20. And at some point, if something's really, really huge in size, you're going to say, hey, just take it. Literally take this. I do not want to take it home. Today was unsuccessful. The Bears basically got to that point, trading him to the Steelers for a 6th-round pick that he has to play more than half of the snaps for the Steelers to get up to a 4th-round pick. Still a day 3 selection a year from now. No benefit today for the Chicago Bears. And I was going back and looking at some of the quarterback trades from last offseason all the way through to this offseason. We had the big one for Aaron Rodgers. That one's an outlier in that Aaron Rodgers is a known entity, a huge name there. They ended up moving up in the first round last year. They also got a 2nd-round pick. They got a 2nd-round pick this year that, without that injury, would have turned into a 1st-round pick from the Jets. So we have that trade. We also have, I found it interesting that we saw Joshua Dobbs being traded multiple times back and forth in terms of a known player being traded. Joshua Dobbs last August was traded for a 5th-round pick, Dobbs and a 7th. That's dreadfully close to Justin Fields here. That is crazy. A six conditional to a 4th, and this was a 7th to a 5th. You had Trey Lance traded for a 4th. Just a straight 4th. No conditions to the Dallas Cowboys from the 49ers. That, in essence, is more here than we have here with Justin Fields. You have Joshua Dobbs moving up from a 7th to a 6th there for the moving to the Minnesota Vikings when they needed him in October. We have Mac Jones being traded for a 6th, very similar to what we have here with Justin Fields. Desmond Ridder being traded for Rondell Moore. That's a day 3 pick. Sam Howell with a couple moves up, inching up 4th to 3rd, 6th to 5th. We also have Kenny Pickett, 4th to 3rd. And you could argue 4th to 3rd is better than a 6th-round selection. So this is mind-blowing in terms of Justin Fields. Here's something I wanted to get into on how rare Justin Fields is and looking at some of the fantasy twists and turns for him. So I wanted to look at, and one thing that I've checked out over the years is the percentage of your fantasy points that come from rushing. And that really identifies, are you a rushing guy, are you a passing guy, are you a multi-threat, and also the stabilization of some of these numbers. So this was looking back at since 2010. I wanted some recent guys. Of 35% of your fantasy production for rushing is really the threshold for, oh, you're a big time runner. And especially I wanted to look at guys that have done it for at least three seasons. So we're talking about, this is your DNA. And I found it interesting that Josh Allen was one that came up because he only did it twice. He was back in 2018, 50% of his fantasy production was rushing. 2019, scaled that back to 35%, just over this barrier. And then he's never been on it since 2019. What did that say? Josh Allen is one of the names to say that he transitioned from being a rushing-centric option, fantasy-wise, to being a five-tool player. And you can see that also. His touchdown interception ratio, 10 to 12, then 20 to 9 that next season. And then, again, he's been a big-time thrower ever since, still adding the rushing. And that's why he's one of the top names in all of fantasy. So Josh Allen only on there twice. Who is on there three times? Because Justin Fields is 3 for 3. 2021, 2022, and 2023, all over 35%. So over that time, we've only got three other quarterbacks that have qualified. We have Cam Newton early in his career with the Carolina Panthers, obviously a huge rushing-centric guy. He then had that Super Bowl run where he threw 35 touchdown passes. Then later on in his career with Carolina, he was at 35-plus percent again. And then we had the essentially roll-back-the-clock college offense for when he landed with the New England Patriots. And he was over 50% of his production was from rushing. And then, again, back to Carolina there, and he had another season late in his career as well. So this is one where Cam Newton on there five times. Jalen Hurts has been on there every season. Every season that he has been a qualifier passing-wise, he has been on this list, and he's been over 40%. Then you have Josh Allen a couple times. Justin Fields three times. Lamar Jackson five times. So you have Lamar Jackson and Jalen Hurts so far as success stories. Josh Allen transitioned away from that. And then Justin Fields is, dare I say, almost a late career Cam Newton, because he's done three seasons. He's been on it 3 for 3. Unlike Josh Allen, he has not transitioned out of this high dependency on rushing, which means a lack of progression as a passer. And the other thing I noticed on this list, so again, Jalen Hurts gets a big contract. Lamar Jackson, MVP, has made some deep playoff runs, big contract. And, you know, Jalen Hurts, same thing. He is, you know, again, been on a huge winning success track. Justin Fields, and looking through these, the biggest things that I could see are, number one, he doesn't complete enough passes. This is going to be an obvious report. His completion rate is below the NFL average throughout. And you see guys like Jalen Hurts has progressed early in his career. Some questions about that. He's gotten up the past couple of years to 65, 66% career passer. Josh Allen, again, progressed straight through that over a couple of years, which is probably the most historically rare or outlier case of this whole thing. Lamar Jackson, he's even improved his completion rate as we've gone through. So that's a known separator between Fields and the rest of these options. Dare I say Fields in the field. But here's the biggest part I found. Sack percentage. Justin Fields has been over 10% all three seasons. The highest of any other of those names that I mentioned in any one season was Jalen Hurts, 8.07% in 2020. That's the only one. 8.62 was early career, first time starting Lamar Jackson. No one else has touched even 9%. And Justin Fields has seasons of 10, 11, and 14%, respectively. So, I've heard from Michael Lombardi. He always talks about sacks as basically turnovers. Sacks are drive killers. And so even if you only throw 9 interceptions, well, what if you're sitting there hemorrhaging, you know, like Justin Fields, for example, in 2022, 1,100 yards he took in sacks. That's a crazy number. That's a crazy just no-lowing behind the line of scrimmage sack number. So Again, Lamar, Justin Fields really stands out in terms of the negativity he is providing and the lack of progression we're seeing as a passer. He's not progressing fast enough. He was dumped for a sixth round pick. And the fact that there are folks out there that think it's going to be some massive, like he's going to win that job, is pretty laughable, in my opinion, that the percentages were so high. I thought that with Justin Fields, it was one that, you know, people would see that Russell Wilson, the reason his salary is low is because another team is paying freight this year. And Justin Fields is one that I wanted to look at. Will he be the starter, or who will start the most games this season? And most were on the side of Justin Fields. It was a close vote. But the fact that most people assume that Justin Fields, this is just horrific management of talent, horrific management of trading, that the other 31 or half of the NFL at a minimum, that again, you can view Justin Fields if you want to in your mind's eye and biggest positive prism you have, that he is an upgrade here. For example, another poll. So again, the NFL is just all wrong. They're all wrong. They all missed. It's one of those scenarios. I wrote, who will start the most games going forward? Justin Fields, Trey Lance, Mac Jones, or Zach Wilson? And Justin Fields, 80%. The other three combined, less than 20%. Why not Mac Jones? Why not Trey Lance? Justin Fields is one that I still can't believe up until, and we'll see how the market starts to move on this, that he is QB 17, QB 18 in Dynasty, which blows my mind. Blows my mind that he's one that is not even a starter, not even guaranteed. He has a bonus in his contract to move up two rounds of picks in compensation if he starts more than half of the games, half of the snaps. Good luck. Good luck on that. And the other part is, again, I was below the market before, and he moved post-trade here to QB 29. And there's a couple of variables in this, but part of it is I just have zero faith in Will Levis from a fantasy perspective, as well as just the fact that he's going to stick as a starter. And the one salvo, I will say, is Justin Fields, a fantasy option. And this is where the real divide happens. He has been, the past 2 years, QB 7 and QB 10 in adjusted fantasy points per game. So the bottom line is, when he starts, he is a fantasy starter. Point blank, period, end stop. But it's because of rushing. And the big divide, and this is where, you know, you can look at the, and this is a more macro discussion, because you have prospects at quarterback where if they don't have much of a rushing profile, it might be a Tua situation where you say, hey, you could lead the league in passing and you could still be QB 10 in fantasy. And it stifles you in terms of what your upside is. The push-pull is you can have the mobile quarterback, the rushing-centric quarterback, and it's exciting, it's vibrant. However, if you don't, like Josh Allen, progress, or Lamar Jackson, progress enough as a passer, you will eventually turn into Justin Fields and be a backup, be traded, be nomadic in your NFL journey. And that creates a lot of strife, dynasty profile-wise, of having no allegiance. The quarterback that has a big, illustrious contract, you can have a down season. You can throw some picks 1 year. You can have turnovers. You can miss the playoffs. You can do all these things, because you still have allegiance. I talked before about, you know, these huge monster profile quarterbacks like Phillip Rivers and Eli Manning, and you got into your 30s, and Big Ben Roethlisberger, and you would have these down years. You'd have the 22 interception season, and then the market would fall out dynasty-wise. You go buy them because they're sturdy profiles, and they come back, they regress in a positive way, and all of a sudden life is normal again the following year. And a young 20s quarterback does not have that type of allegiance. You get replaced. You get squashed like a bug in the machinery of the NFL. Your coaches get fired. Your front office gets fired. These new pieces come in and they say, let's get our guy. We don't have any connection to Justin Fields or insert quarterback that's been struggling here. We want to get someone new. If you stunk, guess what? You have a high draft position working against you, the incumbent quarterback. So you put all these things together. And again, this is what makes it fascinating, because Justin Fields, if you told me he's starting 17 games this year, what does that mean? The likelihood is he's going to be a top 12 fantasy quarterback. But the push-pull is he has no right to the starting job, and he's been traded for a bag of nuts. And what is his outlook now? Like, is his outlook notably different than Trey Lance, who was traded for a fourth round pick and sits behind Dak Prescott? Now, you could argue Dak Prescott is more solidified in the starting role than Russell Wilson, but Russell Wilson's profile is underrated. And I would say this, for those of you that want to bag on Russell Wilson right now among active quarterbacks has the second most top six finishes in the NFL. He's tied with Patrick Mahomes. Yes, he's played more seasons, but he has five top six seasons, eight in the top 12. And you want to bag on that? He's been, even in these down years, he's been QB 13 to QB 22 each of the past 3 years. So is he in decline? Yes. Is he still a rushing and mobile option? Yes. Has he been underrated in, as long as he's starting, he's relevant for us and don't push him through the floor with his dynasty value? Yes. So that's who Justin Fields is competing against, quote unquote, competing against. And I think it's very important because Russell Wilson, and one thing, again, this is more of a stabilized metric because rushing, I mean, yes, you love it. It's intoxicating, the Konami code. We get that. But in Dynasty, if you don't have job security or if you don't have the profile to say it's pointing towards job security, like Russell Wilson, for example, was highly likely this offseason, amidst Denver saying, we hate you, get out of here, was still going to get a lead job. Why? Russell Wilson, 14 passing points per game this past season. He was 15 the year before that. And then he was in his peak powers with 18, 17, 16, 17. Again, in some of those Seattle seasons, peak powers, in addition to some rushing. But here's the thing. He was almost 3 points per game passing-wise better than Justin Fields straight up last year, 3 points per game better in 2022, 5 to 6 points per game better in 2021. That's Justin Fields' career. Over every year, straight up, he's been worse than Russell Wilson. 3 years, and then you add in, I don't know, 6, 7 years before that with Russell Wilson building his profile of winning a Super Bowl and being one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL. And you think Justin Fields is going to beat that guy? Okay, then.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
So Russell Wilson, you can bag on him saying he's declined, say he's not what he was. Well, he was once one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. And so declining from that still means you're a heck of a lot better as a passer than Justin Fields. So that's the battle, the quote unquote battle is Wilson versus Fields. And then Justin Fields, like I said, his market is unbelievable here. His market still, and this is after being traded, this is after all of the muck and turmoil that I just said, he's being traded for a few recent trades. 2 second round picks this year. Talk about the flexibility you have with 2 second round picks. And that would point to Justin Fields still being in the early 20s of the position at large. So not from QB 17, like how much inertia is going to be there? That's crazy to have him at 17, but how far is the fall? He might still be ahead of Kirk Cousins and or Matthew Stafford and or Aaron Rodgers and or Geno Smith. I mean, Bo Nix, Michael Penix, you're resetting the clock. You're getting a guy that is going to be earmarked at some point to start just through attrition of a bridge quarterback or that they're quote unquote ready this year or next year. I mean, he has to move behind, like in my opinion, he has to move behind all those guys. And the fact that, I mean, Trey Lance is QB 38, and I guarantee we're going to see Justin Fields way ahead of him when we see stabilized market tendencies here. Justin Fields being traded still, I mean, this deal just floors me. Justin Fields in a third for a 25 first and a 24 second. A first plus for Justin Fields. What are we doing here? Justin Fields for Jalen Waddle. Justin Fields for Geno Smith and Cortland Sutton. Justin Fields and Chris Godwin for Matthew Stafford and Mark Andrews. Here it is. In tight end premium. What are we doing? The market is drunk. The market needs to go home. The market, it's past midnight and the market is making bad decisions. Here's another one. Justin Fields in a third for a first. Justin Fields in a third for Bryce Young. What are we doing? Justin Fields for Geno Smith plus. I mean, this is crazy. Absolutely nuts. Justin Fields and Drake London for Brock Purdy and Zay Flowers. Arbitraging wide receiver there, but you're getting a heck of a lot more stability at the quarterback position. He's been traded for first a decent amount. Please don't be a part of that. Please don't pay that. If you have Justin Fields, you've had so many opportunities listening to this show, listening to the UTH Premium show, listening to Tank. You've had so many opportunities over the past 18 months to sell Justin Fields for more than this, for first round startup draft prices. You still have exits. If you took over a team 2 months ago and you have them on your roster, you still have quality exits. It's mind blowing. Justin Fields, they added Jahmyr Gibbs and Chris Olave, and they got Patrick Mahomes. Seriously, only quarterback that you had to give was Justin Fields to get Patrick Mahomes. So I don't know what else to say other than Justin Fields is one of the most insulated, mind-blowing assets I've seen in recent time. At a premium position in Superflex, and the fact that now he's being traded for a bag of bolts, and these are still deals being done. So again, Justin Fields, this progression from where we stood, where he had moments of clarity, moments of promise and optimism in the 2023 season, and it eroded all the way to they have the 101 rookie pick, 101 draft pick. And now it's, you know, they're going to get a huge haul, or they should trade the 101 and keep Justin Fields. And it devolved all the way to being traded for a sixth conditional to a fourth at best in return for Justin Fields. Two things I wanted to mention coming out of recent UTHDynasty.com content is the fact that there's been 30 plus shows. What I did this year, instead of doing a daily update, instead of doing, you know, here's all of the quarterback news and waiting days and days, I did a premium show on every single move in free agency. There were a couple, you know, completely ancillary 1 year, $2 million deals with a player that really has no dynasty value, but 30 plus trades that you can, trades plus new contracts, teams moving, maybe even teams taking on the same player. But since March 9th, so about a week's worth, you get a ton, a drove of shows. So you don't have to search, oh, was it minute 17 of this 1 hour and a half show? Nope. Just for example, you know, Jerry Jeudy and Baker Mayfield, Russell Wilson, Mac Jones, Kirk Cousins, Gus Edwards, Devin Singletary, just the list goes on and on. Everybody notable, you can go back. It's 3 to say 10 minutes, depending on the player, where going into how does the UTH profile and valuation change the rankings? How are they moving ancillary pieces in affected by this one player moving in and out of these NFL depth charts? All of that is covered at UTHDynasty.com. You have a premium podcast app. You can get those on any of your apps of choice as a GM Plus subscriber. Never been a better time. And I wanted to mention something at Patreon. So again, Patreon completely separate in terms of its content. I do a lot of ancillary things. There are no repeats here. So again, this weekly show is just one of the things I do in the myriad of things on a weekly basis. I mentioned basically in a week, I did 30 plus premium podcasts. You go over to Patreon, there's another handful of shows. So you put all those things together. And for Patreon, here's the thing that I wanted to mention, because this is the crucial 2, 3, 4 weeks. And this is the time you can optimize the bang for your buck. Because I do an annual NFL draft guide. It's for rookie drafts. It's for rookie valuations. It's for rookie profiling. I've been doing it for years. Years ago, I sold it as a separate standalone product. You'd click on it. You'd pay the pre-sale price, or after it releases, you pay $5 extra and you get the product. Easy PDF form. and wipe your hands. It's a regular interaction. But the last couple of years, I have wanted you to try out patreon.com/UTH. I wanted you to try out all the content. And as that, I want to give away the draft guide. So the release is coming. It's late March. It's early April. It's somewhere in the last day or two of March, first day or two of April every single year. I try to give Pro Days enough of an opportunity to give us as much data as possible, but the pre-draft version comes out around that time. Then you get a post-draft update. And here's the important part. You get rookie drafts that are starting that Sunday, that Monday after the NFL draft. I don't go to bed on Sunday till this thing is done. And I have to rewrite a good chunk of it. I update some of the information, obviously, with draft position. And there's some data points there. But you get the whole comparable prospect matrix. That's huge. You get a worst case, best case, and middle ground comp. And it's not one of those like David Montgomery, Franken comp machines where everybody's a stud. There's going to be comps that you don't even recognize. That's a teaser. That's not a good thing for the players if you don't recognize who they are and you're a devoted dynasty player. So again, they're realistic comps that are actually based on physical traits as well as production traits. So it's far more realistic. It drives me up the wall when I see comparable prospects almost anywhere else out there in the dynasty and NFL draft space. So you get that. You also get custom. You get three different big boards. You get Superflex. You get the tight end premium, as well as the one quarterback. And on UTH Dynasty, you just get Superflex, and you get a couple other columns on how things might be moved. But you don't get the granular. You get the exact. You also get a big draft plan for rookie drafts. Where are the hot spots, cold spots, early ADP trends over the weekend, the first rookie drafts coming off the board? What do I see in the marketplace and where can we exploit things against your league mates? You get all of that. Plus, you get all the write-ups. You see the work that is put in towards these profiles that come to be on how to target players. I also give a preview for the next year. How is the quarterback class, running back class, wide receiver and tight end looking compared to where you see the historical examples of what was predicted for this year, a year in advance. And then you also get to push now towards 2025. So if you're thinking, hey, I need quarterback, I need this, I need that, and you're specifically thinking about it through the rookie lens, is this the year to jump in, or does next year look a little better? So you're going to get all those types of things. It's free. So again, you're going to pay less for 1 month of all pro or higher Patreon tier. You're going to get all the content for the entire month. So you're going to get instant reaction stuff. You're going to get the whole month of a variety of Dynasty content, including feature shows with Tim Torts that I do, discussing Dynasty trading, all those different angles. Plus, you're going to get the draft guide and the post-draft update. So I can't sell it anymore, which is basically saying, again, you get it for free. You used to pay 20, 25, 30 bucks. Now you're going to pay $20. You're going to get a month of content plus, because I really just want you to try it out, and you're going to get the draft guide. So again, you get content plus the draft guide plus the update for $20. So please sign up, patreon.com/UTH. And it's a labor of love. I enjoy doing it. It gets me ready for draft season. And it's a culmination of these 3-4 months. And frankly, in Devi, it's 3 to 4 or 5 years with these prospects in our radius, evaluating them and transitioning them towards the NFL and dynasty landscape. Just to give a couple different examples of what has been over at Patreon for UTH content, I get requests in the VIP chat, which is another huge benefit you're going to get. A full month in the VIP chat room with dozens of the best dynasty owners on the planet. We talk every day. We're passing along trades. We're evaluating things. We're, again, sharpening our blades together with our dynasty leagues. But I recorded, because of a request, hey, why don't you cover some of the biggest names in fantasy and the recent dynasty trades and if they're buys or sells? I covered Calvin Ridley. I covered Justin Herbert. More to come. Deontay Johnson was covered. Had a feature show with all the different skill positions with Tim Torch in the past week. Blake Corum, a full profile look at him. Trey Benson, a full profile look at him. I go over NFL draft position trends and analysis with some mock draft data. All those things. I just recorded today a pro day update for 2 or 3 relevant players. One that got added to the projection model. Want to see how he comes out with comps and all of that. But someone of note, because it's been a pretty dry couple of weeks of pro days for new names. The NFL largely getting it right with the combine invites, and not many others popping up. But when someone does in the month of March, you're going to know about it on Patreon. And also a couple of Georgia players with their profiles shifting a little bit with their pro day workouts. So all that is available over at patreon.com/UTH. Thanks so much for listening. Justin Fields, my head is still spinning a little bit, but had to get a huge feature show off my chest. And like I mentioned, if you want any of the other players, 30 plus over on the premium side for episodes. It's been a huge game-changing week. And everything, of course, Dynasty rankings, trade calculator values, updated at uthdynasty.com. Because if you're not ahead of the market, you are behind the market. I'm Chad Parsons. Until next time, never settle, refuse to be average, and keep building those dynasties.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.